Hello, everybody. Welcome. It's time for Atomic Radio Hour, a show that's 250 episodes deep, 55 episodes deep, and I'm still learning how Discord works. How are you? My name's Vince. I'm going to be your host for this evening, and I'm here with the ever illustrious...
Another appearance. Bye.
What's your name, sir?
Special guest Kyle.
Hey, pal.
Hello.
Hopefully this episode, we don't just hear you for 5 minutes and we take off. I don't know what happened last time. We had such a nice conversation, too. That's what was jitty.
Right.
We just were, you know, yucking up. How have you been since the last time we spoke?
All right. I'm all right.
Anything fun happen?
Really?
No?
No.
I went to Comic-Con last weekend.
Ooh.
I didn't buy anything. It was a toy con. It wasn't really like Comic Con. It was a toy con. I sent you some pictures. They had Sonic Adventure action figures.
Saw that. They were pretty expensive.
$350. I mean, and it wasn't even Sonic. It was Eggman and Tails, which I grew up as a Tails kid, but still. Yeah, it was $350 for the Tails figure. It was $350 for the Tails figure, $350 for the Eggman figure. But the thing that I sent you that I really wanted to see you to see, but I didn't explain it, was an original Warner Brothers Looney Tunes cell from like the 30s or the 40s of Porky Pig and an alien and the Warner Brothers logo, and it was stamped by Bob Clampett. So like, wow. Bob Clampett drew that. This guy had cells. He had one from a Bakshi film called Wizards that he wanted $1,500 for, which totally, yeah, it made total sense because had all four characters and the background was still there. Like, it was a nice piece. The dude said he had a Simpsons one, and I've never bought a cell, but I really want a Simpsons cell. And he said, yeah, it's the whole family on the couch. And I was like, that's like $5,000. Like, I know that that's like $5,000, but I want to see.
Oh, yeah,
see
that's
it.
Probably a lot.
He had, you know, the end of the Jetsons where George Jetson's walking Astro the dog?
Right.
He had a cell from that. Like,
out of like every media and stuff like that, what cell would you want?
Simpsons.
Simpsons? Like, out of everything.
Out of The Simpsons means the most to me. The Simpsons is a thing that I've loved. It's like, my mom was going through a lot of my stuff and was like, you like the same shit you've always liked. And I was like, what do you mean? She's like, there's Looney Tunes stuff. Like, she was going through all my stuff. There's Looney Tunes stuff. There's Simpsons stuff. And there's Godzilla stuff. And she's like, you've liked the same stuff. Like, even to this day, like, I like Blue's Clues. Like, it's not like Rugrats. It's not a show that I go back and like watch. It's like Sesame Street, but I appreciate them. I still like them. Like, at the con, I almost bought a big, like, 4-foot stuffed Big Bird. It was $20 and I passed it. And then I came back later to buy it and they're like, yeah, it's gone. And it's been gone. But it was a toy con, so it was stuff. You know what
right.
I mean? Like, there's this company called Super 7 that makes figures, and they make like old school figures, and they have a whole Godzilla series. But the problem is, they're on card, $25, and I feel bad buying it. Like, the whole thing is the presentation of it. So I feel bad buying a $25 figure to take out of the box when it being on card is like half of the thing. So I got one of the little Godzillas out. I was going to buy another one. I didn't, for $10. One guy was selling them on card brand new for $15 each. And if I would have bought the whole series, he probably would have given them to me for like $12 each or $10 each.
Right.
Have you been to a con?
Nope.
Really?
I
feel like you would. I sent you a picture. The guy had an original Blockbuster promo for Bioshock 2.
Nice.
And I said to him, I go, hey man, you got Fallout by chance? Like, anything Fallout? He goes, yeah. Just casually goes, I have the big standee for Fallout 3. And I went, like, one of the things that I really want. And he's like, but it's in pieces. I go, how much do you want for it? He's like, the pieces? I was like, just tell me the number, please. And he's like, well, in intact, probably about 50, 60, 75. I was like, yeah. There's a guy on Twitter that the Fallout collector, like the guy who has them, and he said that he paid like 50 for them each. It was a few years ago when he said he did it, but like, it's one of those that I'd pay for that. Like, I would have been like, yeah, I'll take the money out of my savings. Like, I'll have it. Even if I would have like PayPal'd him and he would have mailed it to me, no problem. But no, I enjoy cons. I'm actually going to go to, there's an anime con in my neck of the woods, and I'm not really an anime guy.
Right.
But cons are cool, and I like 60s anime a lot. Like, I like Astro Boy. But I also said to my, I have some friends at work who want to go. And I said, watch, because there wasn't that much Godzilla stuff at the ToyCon. I go, watch this be like Godzilla everywhere at the anime con. They're like, yeah, man, can't get rid of it. Nobody wants it. And I just walk in. I'm like, ooh, big lizard.
Walking like Godzilla.
Yeah. Yeah. Just stomping around and shit. Yeah.
I've heard of Gen Con. I think that's where Critical Role couple times go.
I've never heard of Gen Con. Is that like a regional thing? Yo, what's your LARP gear?
I don't think it's a regional thing.
Captain Lennox, who's part of the Film Before a Live studio audience here, which you could be a part of as well. Link in the description to the Patreon. You get to watch these episodes get recorded live. We have a chat. What's your LARP gear? I had a friend who was super into LARPing. He's dead now. And he always wanted me to go, and I just both never of us. Went. And I never went, but it always seemed kind of cool.
I can do D&D, I can't do LARP.
Really? Dope. That's sick. I think LARPing is cool. It embodies, like, you know, being a kid and playing outside, and I really, really like that. Like, I enjoy stuff like that. It's the camping that I don't want to do.
Right. I mean, I already have anxiety from doing voices in a D&D campaign, and I can't just be myself there.
Yeah.
M'lady, you know, I can't.
That's my favorite thing about going to cons, though, and, like, going to events, is, like, I went with a friend from work, and people were just rude and, like, pushing us out of the way. My friend's like, dude, what the fuck is going on? Like, why is everyone being a dick? I was like, because these turbo virgins leave the basement once a year. This sweaty. Is the time. Yeah, they're sweaty. Like, you can smell them from 20 feet away. Like, you know, just, it's, I love it. In his 70s. That's super dope to be able to go to a con, an event, something, and see someone in their 70s who's just being allowed to be weird. That's dope. I love that stuff. That's super cool. Kyle, is there anything else you want to talk about? Do you want to bring up some stuff from last week that we could do quick? That, because I kind of brought it up quickly when I had to record by myself. But if you want to talk about something from last week, we could talk about it now.
Sure. Before we get to that, I asked you about, like, what cell you would pick. I think SpongeBob.
Sorry. Yeah, absolutely.
SpongeBob, Doodle Bob with the pencil.
That I don't believe is in season one of SpongeBob, though. Because season one of SpongeBob is the only season.
I want that Mahoy Mahoy.
But I don't think it's. I think that was done digitally. Because only season one of SpongeBob was done with physical cells.
Well, if it was, that would be the one.
Yeah. I'm surprised, honestly. I'm surprised you didn't go with, like, Rocco.
I don't, like, remember anything.
Yeah. Rocco. I know. I wonder if there's anybody out there who's, like, a big Rocket Power collector.
Probably. It's probably not a lot of merch, but you probably. Opening scene from Scooby.
Oh, good thing you said that, Cap. Captain said that he'd wanted the opening scene from Scooby-Doo. When I was there, there was a Scooby-Doo cell from the 80s. So it wasn't the original 60s run, but it was an original Hanna-Barbera cell. Oh, Kyle, meant to tell you, there was a drawing of Mickey Mouse and Donald with a motorcycle from the 30s. Wow. And my friend looks at me and goes, that was probably hand-drawn by Walt Disney. Because it wasn't a cell, but it was a drawing. And the guy who ran the booth was like, yeah, one of my best friends grew up next to one of the studios and would just go there and bother them and was like, this is how the cartoons are made. And eventually he got, like, a pseudo job. They called him the studio boy because he would just show up and, like, help out. And one day he saw someone throw away a box and he jumped in there and pulled out the box. And, like, 30 years later as an adult started selling them. And, like, that's how he became, like, this animation guy. Like, really cool stuff, man. He had Astro Boy from the 60s. And he was like, the way that they animated Astro Boy back in the day is that they did the whole thing in color and then it became black and white. Super cool stuff. Do you have anything you want to speak about? I don't want to spend too much time on stuff. You want to bring up any story from last week or my friend?
I don't remember what story we were talking about.
We talked about Redfall. We talked about Overwatch. today when we when see damn, words are hard. Segment three is going to be about the PlayStation event. And we were talking to, we didn't even like schedule it. You were just like, I just said to you this morning, you want to watch it together. And we started watching it, and Deadly Lampshade showed up and Lou showed up, and we were just watching that together. And Lamp had brought up that now the UK has okayed it, that the Activision Blizzard Microsoft acquisition can go through. I don't know. At this point, I feel like I'm tired of talking about that. I feel like I'm tired of talking about Starfield.
Right.
Like, I talked briefly about how Redfall just fell apart. I don't know. Do you want to just get into it?
Yeah.
Just get into the lore? Cool. So before I get into the lore, I have to thank the Patreon. And like I said a little bit earlier, if you like the show and want to support in any single way, there is a link to the there is a link in the description to the Patreon below. And in the Patreon, there is a tier called the Film Live Before a Studio Audience tier, where once a month, Wednesdays at about 8:30 Mountain Standard Time, depending on technical issues, we will record in front of a live audience. Today, there's Captain Lennox here. Hello, Cap. How are you? And he's part of the Film Live Before Studio Audience tier. There's a bunch of other tiers there. Even being at the $1 tier lets you be heard when it comes time to pick lore, which I'm going to get into shortly. But I have to thank some folks real, real quick. So starting from the top, I have to thank the OG Noah. Thank you, Noah. After Noah, I have to thank Danny. Thank you, Danny. After Danny, I have to thank Marcus. Thank you, Marcus. After Marcus, I have to thank Mellow Millhouse. Thank you to Mellow Millhouse. And last but certainly not least, filmed live before a studio audience, tonight's live studio audience, is the one and only Captain Lennox. Thank you, Captain Lennox. Because of your support, the show can continue to grow and get bigger, and I can try different things like having an audience in front of me. And I thank you, and I love you. And now on to this week's lore. So what I do every week is I go into said Patreon, and I ask a question. I have a poll that gets put up, and I really wanted to do something that was some NCR lore, some real just sadness, really. Like, every time I learn more and more about the NCR, I'm learning more and more how they're just miserable. And I don't mean miserable in the sense that, like, they're all sad, but their history is just kind of pathetic and very much what the old world once was. And I thought to myself, well, let me just Google NCR lore. And I just put, I think I went to the Fallout Wiki's timeline and just typed in NCR and saw what came up. And the first thing that came up was Bitter Springs. And then I saw there was a little thing that was NCR War and I clicked on it. And the other one that came up was NCR Brotherhood of Steel War. So if you would like to hear any sort of lore, if you want your voice to be heard, even at the $1 tier, so $1 for the entire month, you have a voice in saying what gets chosen for this week's lore comes to us by way of the Patreon, and this week's lore is on the NCR and Brotherhood of Steel War. The NCR Brotherhood War begins in the late 2250s, early 2260s, and is still going on as late as 2281. This war resulted in the NCR's economy taking a massive hit, and the Brotherhood of Steel on the West Coast going into hiding. The Brotherhood of Steel at one point in time wanted to be a powerhouse, but wanted to be a powerhouse that sat in the background. They wanted nothing to do with politics, and because of the events of Fallout 2 and making a treaty with the NCR and essentially with Tandy using the Brotherhood of Steel to push their way into Vault City, they kind of got involved in politics in a way they never really wanted to. Now, under the leadership of Elder Rhombus, with the decline in Brotherhood power and the rise of NCR power during the events of Fallout 2, a little bit after Fallout 2, this power dynamic, this change in who was the top dog, is a huge reason of why this happened. Because of this happening, the Brotherhood of Steel would put in a policy that they would seize all of the old world tech. Anything that was pre-war they wanted. Their stance being that we have to secure all of the pre-war tech just to make sure that the bombs dropping never happens again. And they put this policy out, this treaty out, and the NCR wants nothing to do with it. So controlling this much of the Wasteland's pre-war tech, especially the energy weapons, is the big thing that the NCR is like, no, not a chance. Now, I get all of my lore off of fallout.fandom.com, the Nukipedia, if you will. I have a quote here from a Fallout New Vegas loading screen, but I'd like to preface not just that, but a lot of what I'm about to say. With a lot of this comes from interviews with Josh Sawyer, and a lot of it comes from the Fallout Bible. And even though those things are considered non-canon, when it's the man who was the main director behind New Vegas says something, even if he says that the reason why the super mutants are in Black Mountain and Jacobstown is because that there's another mutant out there with a big tentacle coming out of his back, and his name is Munch Munch, the mutant. Like, as far as I'm concerned, what the director says goes. But this is a quote directly from a New Vegas loading screen. Due to a disagreement over how technology should be controlled in the wasteland, the Brotherhood of Steel waged a long and bloody war against the NCR. Despite superior equipment and training, the Brotherhood eventually went into retreat. As I said, the NCR wants nothing to do with this treaty, and then this war happens, and everybody, if you would look at this on paper, everybody would say Brotherhood of Steel is going to wipe the floor with the NCR. It's just the way it's going to be. The Brotherhood has better guns, better tech, better training, but the one thing the Brotherhood doesn't have that the NCR does is bodies. It has people. When there is a problem, they will throw as many future corpses at it until the problem is solved in their favor. Early on, though, the Brotherhood of Steel won a ton of battles. The NCR could keep replacing men no matter how many they lost. This was such a massive hit to the Brotherhood of Steel that they lost 6 of their bunkers on the West Coast. 4 of them were suicide bombings. They were, I say suicide bombings, but they were self-destructs. They didn't want the NCR to gain access to the bunkers, get some of their secrets, maybe find out a weakness or two of theirs. They self-destruct, which you can do in New Vegas. If you go through the Brotherhood bunker, there's a terminal that you can self-destruct everything with. They did that just to make sure that they never had access to any one of their bunkers. The NCR never had any access to one of their bunkers. And there's one major battle that's brought up on the wiki, and it's Operation Sunset, which happened on October 1st of 2276. Now, because of the NCR occupation of the Hoover Dam in 2273, the Mojave chapter of the Brotherhood of Steel finally had someone to oppose them. The Brotherhood of Steel, very early on in Fallout's history, in the first Fallout, they are talked about as if they are metal monks, one of the best songs from the original soundtrack of Fallout. They are talked about as if they are these hulking masks in the distance that are just there to gather knowledge. People, they're mythic the way they're spoken about. It's almost like Brotherhood of Steel and Deathclaws in the first Fallout are spoken about in a way where to see one is a rare occurrence and you don't know if you're going to live after you've seen one. To finally have a force that can sit there and say, we're bigger and badder and stronger than you are, in of itself is opposing to what has been essentially the strongest thing in the wasteland that is organized. Even before any of this happened, there was turmoil inside the Brotherhood of Steel. In Fallout 3, Elder Owen Lyons, you can speak to him and he'll say, the Brotherhood of Steel has been struggling for years, both here and back home. And when you meet Elder Lyons, it's in 2277, and the battle of Helios 1, Operation Sunburst, is October 1st of 2276. So he leaves the West Coast, finds the chapter that is in DC, and he's even willing to admit, and this is kind of why I think it's okay that the East Coast has a chapter of the Brotherhood of Steel, because Elder Lyons wanted to run things completely different. The thing that will bog down the Brotherhood of Steel on the West Coast is their reliance on tradition. Just because something worked once doesn't mean it's going to work now. And I believe, through dialogue, through wiki entries that I've read and played, you can see that Owen Lyons is very much like, it's not going to work. They never took outsiders in. And in Fallout 3, they take outsiders in because they're like, if we don't expand, we die. Operation Sunburst. The NCR was to take out the entire Mojave chapter of the BOS, of the Brotherhood of Steel, and an attack at Helios 1. The solar power plant had inexperienced Brotherhood members, limited manpower, and practical choices made by Elder Elijah, the elder at the time, that just didn't make sense. And at one point during the battle, Elder Elijah flees Helios 1. It's a big part of Veronica's quest. It's a big part of the Sierra Madre and pretty much all the DLC of New Vegas where they talk about him. I think every DLC talks about him a little bit. They talk about how he just kind of flees and he's like, all right, abandon ship. This captain is not going down with a ship. And he just takes off. And if he didn't do that, they probably still would have lost, but the battle could have raged on a little bit longer. And reading about it kind of made me think, well, you know what? You left, so maybe there weren't as many casualties. But a lot of the paladins and the knights, the veteran paladins and knights, leave because of this, because they're either dead or they're just like, I'm done. But I'll get to a little bit more of that in a minute. Every single thing that I just said about how weak they were at Helios 1, the NCR knew and took absolute total advantage of them. It's such a big massacre, and they're so outdated in what they do that when the courier is asked by Mr. House to destroy, if you take that route, to destroy the Brotherhood of Steel, the courier can say, why do you hate the Brotherhood so much? And Mr. House reply with, because they're ridiculous. Because they gallivant around the Mojave pretending to be knights of yore. Or did, until the NCR showed them that ideological purity and shiny power armor doesn't count for much when you're outnumbered 15-1. The world has no use for emotional, unstable, techno-fetishist. Just wipe them out, will you? So it's a battle that they knew at this point in the NCR Brotherhood War. They knew that if they just shot as many men at them as they could, it's 15-1. Let's say the chapter of the Brotherhood that was there. I'm making this number up. Let's say it's 50 people. 15-1. Just waves of people and said, just get it done. Just make sure that it's over. This wiped out over half of the manpower of the Brotherhood of Steel. Over half of the veterans, the knights, and the paladins were taken out. They enforced a strict lockdown after they retreated and went into the Hidden Valley bunker. And during this lockdown, NCR took over an even greater amount of power. For the NCR's economy, I alluded to it earlier in this lore segment, and I talked about it a little bit a few weeks ago on a previous lore segment. Even though the NCR wins this war in the long run, even after the events of October 1st of 2276, the NCR takes a massive hit to their economy, and that's because the Brotherhood of Steel couldn't compete with the NCR's ability to just throw men at the problem, so the Brotherhood of Steel attacked the NCR gold reserves that back the dollar. Get ready for your little economy class that I'm going to give you. As gold was depleted, NCR citizens panicked and rushed to retrieve whatever they could out of their dollar. This is essentially what happened during the Great Depression. It happened in Russia not too long ago when the Russia-Ukrainian war was first started. A lot of Russian citizens started pulling out money out of the bank. And for a while, if I remember correctly, one Robux, a Roblox dollar, a Robux, was worth more than a Russian ruble. There's something I saw recently, and this is going to date the segment, but there was new sanctions placed on Russia, and now like something as simple as green dye for containers. The example I was shown was orange juice boxes. They were green, and now they're no longer green because of these sanctions. People wanted to make sure they got their money. If I have $100 and I'm told this is worth $100 in gold, I want that gold because it's physical. It's not just the representation. A dollar is a representation of a money. So the NCR takes a massive hit to their gold reserves and people want to pull out. This could have triggered real economic collapse. As not to trigger a real economic collapse, the NCR established fiat money. Fiat money is what we have in the US. It doesn't mean anything. It's the idea of money that is worth something. It's not backed by actual gold. We no longer have the gold standard here in the States. The NCR dollar was no longer backed by gold or silver. Most citizens lost faith in the NCR dollar because it was only backed by government word. Inflation on an amazing level was inevitable. When something like that happens, that's the only thing that could happen. After World War I, Deutschmark in Germany was worthless. It was hundreds of Deutschmarks for like a loaf of bread where people were just going hungry. During this time, the hub reinstated the cap. Now, the hub originally in Fallout lore is one of the first, if not the first, community that says we are going to make the cap our money. And they later abandon it to adopt the NCR dollar. And because of this happening, caps came back into fashion. The cap was a currency backed up by Hub's water reserves. So as much water as they had is what backed the cap. And I always reference this because I think it's a really well-made video. I haven't watched it in a while, so I could be wrong, and it's a game theory video. But MatPat goes through like why the dollar, the cap became the currency and like how it was established and probably what was behind it. And he says in the video, it's water rations do it. But on top of water, it's also drugs. And pushing drugs from the East Coast, from the West Coast to the East Coast and everywhere in between, if it was coming out of the hub or any area in that vicinity, it was very much, hey, this is our currency. This is what has value. We need caps. We don't take anything else. And slowly that just kind of incorporates everything. Now, the total outcome of the war, as of 2281, the Brotherhood of Steel is no longer considered a priority threat for the NCR. They're not fans, but they're not going out of their way. The war is still technically going on. Most NCR troops have moved on and been deployed to other fronts. The Brotherhood of Steel in the West is dying out, and the best Brotherhood members are staking out on their own, and a lot of them have left. Like I said previously, they want nothing to do with it. That's part of Veronica's quest line. There's a couple Brotherhood of Steel members you meet in that don't want anything to do with the Brotherhood, and then there's some of them that want to just keep the old way going because the old way is what is convenient for them. Again, in 2281, the NCR is no longer searching for the Brotherhood and is fully focused on the NCR Legion War. The NCR is still willing to pursue the Brotherhood of Steel, but also, depending on the way you do the end of the game, depending on how you play everything out, if you go an NCR route, there is a way that you can make an alliance with the Brotherhood of Steel, and they're kind of okay, but it's just to help them in the Hoover Dam battle. As of 2287, the events of Fallout 4, it happens in 2287, Lost Hills is still the heart of the West Coast Brotherhood of Steel, and they still have an Elder Council, and it is still monitoring other chapters, and has reestablished contact with Elder Owen Lyons in DC, and on Proctor Quinlan's terminal, you can see in Fallout 4, this is a direct quote, again, from fallout.fandom.com, the Nukipedia, if you will. Elder Maxon reigns supreme in the Capital Wasteland, and his authority and influence have been spreading across the eastern seaboard, thanks in no small part to the mobility afforded by the Pridwin. He has the full support of the elders back on the West Coast, who have proudly reported that they've been eradicating cults that have popped up worshipping Maxon as though he was some sort of a god, Ellipses. I didn't do the full quote, but the full quote talks about how Maxon wants nothing to do with being reported to anybody, to be looked at by anybody as a god. He is a human, and he's proud to be a human. He's what he thinks to be peak physical human form. I think it's super interesting to see a man who is direct lineage of the first Maxon who leaves Mariposa and starts the Brotherhood of Steel with him and his fellow soldiers, to see the direct descendant want to take up the mantle of what Maxon was doing, but kind of misses the mark. Maxon wanted to be left alone. Don't get in our way, but leave us alone. We don't want to have any sort of political standing whatsoever. And this Maxon sees that and goes, ah, but we have to, and kind of takes what his grandfather, his great-great-great-great-grandfather has said and twists it in such a way. And to see that on the West Coast, there's probably, most likely, a splintering group that would emerge and say, well, we want to do what this Maxon is doing in lieu of what the old one is doing. Super interesting. It's one of the few times that I've actually sat there and went, maybe Bethesda could actually do something fun with that if we were to ever see them tackle the West Coast, which I doubt we will, because I have a feeling that's what the show will be. That'll be Bethesda's telling of what is going on the West. Now, what's super cool about this too is this conflict was originally supposed to be in Van Buren, the original Fallout 3, but was cut because the game never came out. And it is an event that would have played out through the entire game. The Brotherhood of Steel, I think thematically, I think if they're going for some sort of a tone, watching how the NCR has grown, it makes sense that it goes away. In my humble opinion, and what really is my opinion other than just some fan of a game series or the podcast, but in my opinion, I think we should retire the Brotherhood of Steel. I don't know how they would do it if they're going to go to New York, which is the big rumor, somehow everybody's talking about this, that's where it's going to be for the next game. Does it make sense? Sure. Is it kind of redundant to do New York? I think so. I think the reason why Fallout was in LA, in the first Fallout was in LA, is because it's different. Everything's in New York. Show me Texas. Show me Colorado. Show me Montana. Show me Michigan. Show me Louisiana, show me Florida, show me Georgia, show me West Virginia. West Virginia's kind of dope to be a Fallout location. Show me Canada. Show me another country. I think we need to move away, and I think that's maybe what they were like trying to set up, is like, this needs to go. But it's fun to see the splinterings of it. It's fun to see little bits and pieces of it. Fallout 4, you could find Enclave Power Armor. That's pretty dope. It's cool that it's still out there. I enjoy that. But that, my friends, is really all I have for you on this week's lore. You there, Papa?
Yeah.
Hey. We watched the PlayStation event. I know you very much would like to talk about the PlayStation event, right?
Sure. Yeah.
You kick it off, man. You kick it off, and then I immediately go to talk. Hold on. Sorry. I'd just like to say that we didn't host anything officially that was like, hey, come check out the PlayStation event with us. I just messaged Kyle. I was like, yo, you want to watch it together while I'm at work? And he was like, yeah, sure. And we just joined a party and a few other people joined. I had no expectation. There was a few things I wanted to see, didn't expect to see, but wanted to. Didn't see any of it. So, Kyle, you go.
Yeah. We had quite a bit, a lot of like, I wouldn't say third party things, but like other Sony studios showing stuff off. I guess we'll just go through some stuff that we
you took notes, saw. Right?
I did, but I think we can just skip quite a bit of them.
Yeah.
Cat Quest.
I really want to see this. I wasn't watching it when this
supposedly happened. Supposedly it's a sequel or something like that.
The Cat Pirate game?
Yeah.
Okay. Want to see it. Big fan of both Cats and Pirates.
I'm down for Teardown, which is only at the moment. That's like Minecraft bank robbering and just destruction of everything.
I watched somebody stream that and I was like, this game looks like a blast.
Yeah. Then we got a Metal Gear Solid Snake Eater remake, re-something, and then they're also going to bring the other games over to PS5.
Cool.
My favorite, the Alan Wake other trailer / gameplay, survival horror at its finest.
Nice.
That comes out October.
Where can I play the first one?
Anywhere.
Really?
I think so. I don't. Yeah.
There's I know you don't mind, but I thought it was
Switch. I think you get on Switch.
Really?
Yeah. Not physical, but.
No, I know. They have no plans on making Alan Wake 2 physical.
I don't have a problem with that.
Nah, I know. You know me, though. I like to collect.
Right after that was the Assassin's Creed Mirage trailer / gameplay. Looks amazing. Cannot wait for that.
I stepped away. What happened with that?
They just showed gameplay.
That's it. Cool. Where is it? Where does it take place?
Baghdad?
Cool. Oh, you told me this. It's Sonic's, it's Eggman's henchman guy.
Yeah, he does the voice.
I remember that. Cool. Cool.
Revenant Hill, which is from the creators of Night in the Woods, which is an amazing game.
I think I might pick up Night in the Woods.
I think you'll like it.
It's about like some kid who drops out of school to like go home and like be sad.
Out of college.
Yeah, like that's Kyle. That's like what we did. You know what I mean? Like,
I never went to college, so I didn't drop out. Dragon Dogma 2.
Oh, I have to say, I was so happy that we got to hear Lamp's live reaction to Dragon Dogma 2. He was like, no way! I was so happy that someone in the chat, like, just...
It was very funny to hear, I don't really care about any of the PlayStation stuff, and then turn around and Dragon Dogma. Yeah. Snaff, Help Wanted 2, the VR, more of the VR games.
I'm seeing this movie. The trailer looks dope. I don't know much about Five Nights at Freddy's, but like the trailer seemed dope, and I was like, all right, I'll see it.
Shaggy's in it, so.
And I think it has real animatronics, and I'm just a big fan of that shit.
Right. I didn't write it down after this, but we got Marathon is coming back.
Yeah, I heard Bungie. You going nuts for that. I'm really excited to see what that is, because I don't know what Marathon is.
It's PvP... Oh, shit, what did they say? They say it's Bungie Marathon is being worked on for PS5, Xbox Series, and then PC. Full crossplay and cross-save. PvP extraction shooter.
What is extraction?
Trying to get out of something in time.
Like the thing.
Or trying to get something out or something like
I'll
that.
I'll play Marathon. I will.
I don't think they said it's a sequel, but it's like in the world, I think they said. Right after that, they announced the amazing teaser, which has blown my mind of theories, because characters coming back that was dead for Destiny 2. We're getting a little teaser for Lightfall, The Final Shape, which they're having their own conference in August about it. Was not expecting that.
Yeah.
Was not expecting to see anything Final Shape related really soon. Especially Cade being somewhat alive, because then that means they're sitting in the Traveler, which is the afterlife. So
sure, I've never played it.
He's supposed to be dead. Is Nathan Fillion's character? He dies.
Firefly.
Yeah.
You ever watch Firefly?
I seen it a couple of times, like a couple episodes that I never got into it. I don't know why.
I was at New York Comic Con, and there was a panel for Firefly, and like everybody that was there was like dressed up as like not a single person wasn't dressed up. And I was like, hey, what are you guys in line for? And they're like, Firefly. And I was like, what is that? They're like, what do you mean? What is that? I'm like, I know it's a show, but I don't know what it's about.
It's like, cool. Space Cowboys, I think.
Really?
In a way. Yeah. But yeah, that was shown. And then we got some PlayStation weird portable handheld thing.
We didn't even talk about this. Yeah, I heard rumor, and we talked about it last week, but it got all chopped out, that it's supposed to be, that there was rumors of a PSP again coming out, but this looks like almost like a Switch.
It's an 8-inch screen,
but you have to buy the screen controller separately.
No, they're built in, I think.
That's what I mean, like you're buying a separate, it's, you're essentially buying like a little Switch
technically. Yeah.
So, like, here's my thing. Is it a PS5 on the go? Like, do I, as long as my PlayStation's on, I can, like, stream to it if I'm on Wi-Fi? Like, I'm so curious. So, like, if it's a remote, does that mean I can just play my PlayStation, be like, oh, poopy time, and then go, like, poop and play?
Project Q device for playing games installed on your PS5 and streamed over Wi-Fi.
Cool. Captain Lennox says he believes it might be like the Stream Deck. That makes sense. Yeah. I mean, it says it's streamed over Wi-Fi, but again,
from your PS5.
So is it, I have to be on the same Wi-Fi connection, or can I just have
I hate
it
this
and...
to be the furthest out there. It's the Wii U. Damn, like you have the Wii U console, you pick up the screen and then you go to the toilet. Basically, you know what I mean? Like that's, it's the Wii U.
It's poopy time. Poopy time is gameplay.
And then after that, we got a lot of gameplay on Spider-Man.
I haven't watched it. I didn't get to watch it at work because my stream died. And then I got home and I wrote and I didn't watch it. I did the dishes because I had to do the dishes.
It looks good.
I saw that there's like combat with him. Here's my thing, Kyle, and I'm not just trying to nitpick. I'm not just trying to be about this because I do like Spider-Man. I hope they didn't do the symbiote because they're like, oh, the symbiote's going to sell. Because
they did the symbiote in Spider-Man 1.
No, at the end, yeah.
Yeah.
But like I feel like any time
it made sense for them to have.
Sure, but I'm saying
Venom and Harry Osborn.
But anytime I see the Joker at this point, and you know me, Kyle, I love me the Joker. Anytime I see the Joker with Batman, I'm like, you couldn't have picked anyone of the other rogues. You couldn't have picked Freeze. Like, I just also really like Freeze. Like, it just seems like the go-to thing to pick. It looks super dope, the way you use the symbiote to just mess with people. Like, I saw that Spider-Man, like, jumps up and, like, does a flippy flip and, like, tentacles come out like everywhere. It looks dope.
Beating them to the pulp. Like, but he's putting his punches in it.
Here's my thing, too, with that. Is it going to make playing as Miles less fun?
I don't think so.
Because if I have all these extra powers and abilities as symbiote Spider-Man, I don't know. I'm not Insomniac. I don't make games, but I'm just saying as a consumer, I'm like, oh, what's this? What's that? Who's this? Who's that? Ba-bow. You know? Anything else?
That's pretty much it.
I was upset to not see Factions.
I knew that we were going to see them. They're very hush-hush on that for some reason.
No, I know, but it's also just the show ended. You know what I mean? I would have thought that they would have had something now that the show's ended. Like, they're still kind of riding a bit of a high.
I don't know. Like, they're very, like, not a lot of details. Just even, like, saying anything.
I listened to a comedy podcast, and the guy had on Craig Manzin to talk about how much he loved the show. Hmm. Like, that's how big the show is. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
I just thought we would have seen something, or at least give, like... Because here's what I was saying at work. There's some people I'm friends with at work that are Last of Us fans. And I was like, you know what they're going to do for the Factions? If it's going to be like an open world game, they're going to show you what happened in Jackson between Ellie and Joel in the 6 years between Last of Us 1 and Last of Us 2. Why wouldn't they?
I don't think they would.
No?
I think they would. I think they want to have this very separate from the main Last of Us story in a way. Yeah.
Maybe. Still no Sly Cooper.
That's not going to happen.
I know.
They even said that's not going to happen.
Really?
Yeah, they put out that they're not working on it. They don't have plans to work on it. No other studio has plans to work on it. Yeah, they posted that on the 20th anniversary or something like that.
Damn. No Ratchet and Clank? I feel like it's been at least 2 or 3 years since we've heard from them.
Probably working on something.
That new one looks fun. I didn't play it because it was only... It's free?
Free for the Plus subscription thing. Like, if you have the other one.
Thanks for reminding me. I got to cancel my Plus tonight. No. It was neat. It wasn't super for me. I just feel like...
Feel like that. I think we're going to get one next month.
You think we're going to get another one?
I think we're going to get, like, the E3 one. You know what I mean?
I was going to say, Kyle, this is, like, the beginning of Happy E3. It's starting.
Because this was all their, like, companies, like, the studios they own.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah, it was, like, everybody under them. It wasn't, like,
The
only thing that was, like, a Sony product was Spider-Man.
Yeah. Well, there's a couple other Sony products, but, like...
You know what I mean? Like, the big one.
Yeah.
Like, a God of War, a Horizon.
Like, Alan Wake is, like, think it's on both consoles, and then, like, Assassin's Creed, same, like, mm-hmm. Dragon's Dogma, you know what I mean? Like,
Yeah. Because isn't Dragon's Dogma coming to everything?
Yeah.
Cool. Any last words, Papa?
No, I think that's it.
Cool. That's all I really have. That's all Papa has. Thank you for joining us. It's been a fun time. My brain shut off out of nowhere. That's fun. I'm very tired. Hold on. If you like the intro music, is by the one and only Shane Ivers. In the description, there's a link to his website. It's called SilvermanSounds.com/free music, where you can get all of his free tunes. But the song that I use is called Feather Duster. In the description below is a link to my Twitter, Kyle's Twitter, and the show's Twitter. Also a link to the Patreon. Again, thank you to the Patreon. If you want to have your voice heard in making, be part of making the show, even at the $1 tier, you become a part of the program. And at the $10 tier, my favorite tier, because you get to be a part, like Captain Lennox, get to be a part of the show in the film live before a studio audience tier. Thank you to anybody who supports on the Redbubble. I love you very much. I'll be seeing you next week. See you, Bentley.
See ya.
Bye, Kyle.
Bye.
See you later.
Bro.
Bye, everybody. Love you.
Atomic Radio Hour Podcast.
A Ghoulman Entertainment Production.